The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Life is full of situations that do not always go the way we want it. I say that statement with maybe a question in mind, and that is, isn't that a reality in your life? It certainly is a reality in my life. And anyway, I think we all certainly understand that adversities are a normal part of our life, maybe even a normal part of our everyday life. And so as a result of that, there's a question I think that we need to ask, and that is there a way for believers to combat these situations? And the answer is, of course there are. Of course there are biblical solutions to all of these kinds of situations that just seem don't go our way and adversities that seem to be a normal part of our everyday life. Of course, there's a biblical solution. And that word is named patience. So when we hear the word, another question comes to mind. What is patience? Most of the New Testament words translated patience or any variation of that word has to do with our enduring these difficulties and adversities of life. All of them do. All of them have to do with that. In fact, the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, which is a real good reference book for biblical words and or terms, says the word is a military term, and in therefore it is used as a metaphor in connection with the battles that we face in our lives. It means to endure, to be strong, and to be steadfast. It means to hold out, and by inference, it would certainly mean in the battles of our life. What is usually implied by the word and how it is used in the Bible, both Old and the New, especially in the New Testament, it is implying that it is a notion of enduring without losing one's temper or self-control. It can also be defined as accepting a difficult situation without giving a deadline to remove it. And we've all heard the statement, you know, it's like, I want patience and I want it now. You know, we've all heard that, right? But I have another question, and throughout the sermon today, we're going to have various questions that we're going to answer, at least try to answer from time to time. And the next question I want to ask is it important in the life of a true believer? And the answer is absolutely. Brethren, without a doubt, even the world understands that it's important in the lives of all human beings because it states that it is very, very important. Having been parents with smaller children, or now even grandparents with smaller children, or whatever the case may be, I know that we've heard others, or maybe even ourselves from time to time, maybe even said the statement to our children, "You try my patience." William Shakespeare, in his play of Henry IV, says, "You tread upon my patience." Then if we go a little bit further back in the writings of Chaucer, 1343 to 1400, he says, "Patience is a high virtue." And then if we go even further back into history, we find that Plato, about 200 years before Jesus Christ, makes this statement, "Patience is the best remedy for every trouble." I think that's a good statement. Patience is the best remedy for every trouble. And Tolstoy, the author of the novel War and Peace, wrote, "Time and patience are the strongest of warriors." So I think that we can agree that those of the world certainly seem to agree that patience is a great virtue. And then if we keep looking into it, we certainly can also understand that the world believes that it is often in short supply. So what does the Word of God have to say about this topic? Does God say anything about it? And again, absolutely, the Word of God deals with this topic from various ways and in many different avenues that it addresses it under. The word patient or patience is used numerous times. In fact, it is used in the New Testament at least 49 different times. Anytime that a word is used over 5 or 6 times, we really pay attention to it. This one is used at least 49 different times. As we begin to really look into this topic, I'd want to point out from the very beginning that a very important thing for us to see and to realize from the beginning is that God our Father is referred to as being patient. It's one of the terms that's used for him. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 in verse 5. Romans chapter 15 in verse 5, and it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ," or to Christ Jesus. The God of patience. And it says, and we're to be this way one toward another. The next thing I want to point out as we get into it, and also a very important thing to realize, is that we see that patience is referring to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without a doubt, we could all certainly understand and realize that Jesus Christ was patient. He is described as long-suffering and filled with forbearance. Various places use those kinds of terms, and both words pertain to being patient. Even though it's not the same word, they have the sense of, and that's what it is implying, is being patient when it says that he is long-suffering and that he was forbearance and was filled with forbearance. It is talking about patience. It's the word that we would understand. Having said that, we also understand that mankind has often shown contempt for God's tolerance and God's patience. Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, "Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" So yes, we understand, it's very plain, the Bible shows that man often has contempt the fact that God actually is this way. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." And so it's very plain that it's showing us that God the Father and it is showing that Jesus Christ both are patient. It's a virtue that they have. It's a characteristic, it's a positive characteristic that they both have. And even Jesus Christ, when he walked the earth as a human, he demonstrated that over and over. And again, we see that God reminds us that he is patient with each one of us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Remember I told you this word. It has the sense of patience. It's the same kind of thing. It's not the exact word, but it has the sense of that, of being patient. Long-suffering and patient go hand in hand toward us. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We're also told that God waited patiently in the days of Noah. That's in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where it lists out for us the fruits of the Spirit, you know them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know those things, right? several translations for the word long-suffering actually have the word patience. So it's one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Long-suffering is one of these words that we know a little about it, but we don't know a great deal about it, and it's something that we gather, you know, we kind of hint at from time to time. We understand the word patience, and that's why some of the translations actually use that word. It's in the same category. It's meaning the same thing, that we're to be patient. Long-suffering is to be suffering long. But you know, the thing is, we aren't just to suffer long. We're to be patiently waiting. Patiently waiting. It's not just suffering. It's not about suffering. It's about being patient. That's really what it is talking about. And so, yes, we can thank God for His patience, for oftentimes giving us what could be described as a second chance. And that's a wrong term to use here, but you get the point that He forgives us and He's patient with us. We know that because we make mistakes. We sin. Let's be real dogmatic about it. We sin. When we go to God and we ask Him to forgive us, what does He do? He forgives us. He's patient with us. Because you see, He has an end result. He has an end result that He's waiting for, and He's willing to wait with us patiently while we deal with ourselves within our own lives. And this is why He does this over and over and over. And so I use the word a second chance, like Jonah. We're not going through the story of Jonah, but certainly God was patient with Jonah. We also realize and should thank God for His patience, for being so long-suffering and so patient with us when we are defiant of Him. You go, what do you mean when we're defiant of Him? Well, you may look at the word there and you may hear it and you may think this is a really strong word. Well, it is. Because when we do something we know is wrong and we've done it before and we did it a second time knowing it's wrong, and then we do it a third time we know it is wrong, we're in defiance. And God is patient with us over that. And that's something to think about. You know, that's something that's to think about, how patient God really is with us. We also must not forget the warning about God's patience. Go with me to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, all the way back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6, this is at the time of the flood, and verse 3, I'm only going to read the first part of the verse, Genesis 6 and verse 3, and it says, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. In other words, what we're seeing here, very plain, it says, God's patience can run out. We don't want to be on the receiving end of God's patience running out. So one more thing I want us to see about Jesus Christ before we get into other aspects of this word, and that is that He gave us an incredible illustration of His patience. Let's go to the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Now you know this, but I'm dealing with it from the point of view of His incredible illustration that He gave to us, an example of patience that He gave. Verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Isn't that the definition of patience? It's certainly a working definition of the word patience. He has brought us a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shears is dumb. In other words, He didn't speak anything. He didn't retaliate. He didn't. You know, they were doing something to Him that should not ever be done to anyone, and here they were doing it to the Son of God, and it says, and so He opened not His mouth. What an incredible example of being patient. And here's the reason that I'm reading this in this context at this point, and that is that we are plainly told that we are to have this same attitude and this same spirit about us. We are to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did he do when they oppressed and afflicted him? He didn't say anything back. That's the ultimate of being patient. The Bible makes it also very clear the importance of this characteristic in our lives. In fact, there are many different illustrations found in the scriptures, in the pages of the Bible, and I want us to see a few of them. Not all of them. We're going to look at a very few of them here today, and this is going to be what I would call an abbreviated sermon on the message of patience. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out, but it's going to hit some things I believe very important for all of us to get some lessons, to learn some things. And so let's see a few of these. And please understand, at the very beginning, as we see things about us dealing with patience, that a key to understanding the importance of patience in our lives is that it is a central role in God's plan for us. God has this incredible plan. We see it through the holy days. We understand it. We through the Sabbath and through the holy days. This incredible plan that he has for all of mankind. We all have a place. We all have a part in that. A key central role is played in that plan by us having patience in our lives. Let's go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, you're familiar with these verses that we're going to see here. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Why consider it joy? Why would we consider it joy? Well, for several reasons. Verse 3, knowing this, knowing that, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or different temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. That's why. I've already made the statement without absolutely stating it. Patience is necessary for salvation. So I'll state it. Patience is necessary for salvation. From God toward us, from Jesus Christ toward us toward God, us toward Jesus Christ, and us toward one another. It is a key, important part, central role in God's plan of salvation. That's what these verses are actually saying. So I think that we can see trials develop patience and endurance. And patience and endurance, in turn, as a result of it, patience then is developed into a perfect work. In other words, the development of a godly nature in us. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. So it's very, very plain to me that one of the key things in our lives of why this is so important into us, into our lives is, as I said at the beginning, do we find ourselves in situations that we don't want to be in all too often? The answer is yes. How do we deal with it? Get this away from me. Or do we count it as joy? Because it's going to develop into a perfect work. In other words, it's going to develop into that we're going to have a godly nature as a result of it being there. Now, Paul talks about it. I'm not going to go there, but Paul talks about it. He says, no trial at the time is, you know, it seems good. It's grievous. However, the end result is just what James says. It's going to develop into a godly nature. In other words, we're going to be like God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, Romans 5 verse 3, Romans 5 verse 3, and it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Now, I didn't sneak into your Bible and write these words in there last night. You know, this is what it says, verse 4, and patience develops experience, and experience develops hope. I'm reading words in, but that's what it's saying. In verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And so he tells us a whole lot of things in these few verses right here. We need tribulation. Need. Didn't say we wanted, but God looks at it. We're going to have them. He could create us and put us in situations that we never have any trials or tests. But we're not going to develop the godly nature. So he allows these things to happen in our lives. Not more than we're able to bear up under. But he allows these to be in our life so that patience will be developed so that we will have a godly nature. That's what it says. And we have the Holy Spirit so that we can do it. And brethren, a godly nature, very important point that I think is good for us to see, is that it is a valuable asset in our life now and in our life to come when we're in the family of God. Go with me to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and wise fable, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. In other words, becoming more like God. Verse 8. For bodily exercise profits little. In other words, there is some profit in the bodily exercise that we would do today. It doesn't say don't do it because it's not good for you. It says there is going to be a profit, but it's going to be now in this physical life. That's what he's saying. Bodily exercise is going to be good for you now in his physical life. But godliness, becoming like God, developing a godly nature, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That's why I made the statement, a godly nature is a valuable asset both in this life today and in the life to come, based upon these verses. That's what he's saying. Therefore, as a result of this, of having this, understanding this, practicing patience will have everlasting benefits. It's going to be good for us now, but it's going to be good for us forever. Forever. The Bible specifically instructs us to be patient with other people. I think that we can understand that this would be an important way of blessing them and encouraging them by demonstrating what God can do in a person's life. In other words, if we're patient toward another person, they are blessed as a result of our being patient toward them. But they also are going to see, and they also can be encouraged by the fact that we're being patient with them. Therefore, they can pass it on to others, and they can become that way also. You mean after all these horrible things I did to you, you still treated me in a godly way? Well, yeah, because that's godly to do so. And they can be encouraged and they can be strengthened by that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward those who are patient with you. It's not what it says, is it? Be patient toward all men. So be patient toward everyone. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to see several verses here in a row. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. James chapter 5. James 5. Verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. In other words, a gardener, this is what he's talking about, a farmer, a gardener. He waits patiently to receive what he is going to receive and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. He's waiting for it. He's looking forward to it. He's patiently waiting. In verse 8, be you also patient. He said, here's an example of someone that we would all recognize, a farmer, husbandman here means farmer, someone who plants crops. He said he's patiently waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. In other words, he's going to gather his fruit out of the earth that's going to grow. And he says, and he's waiting long for it, patiently long for it. And verse 8 then says, therefore, doesn't use the word therefore, but there should be a transition or could be, therefore be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Colossians 1 and verse 11. Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. The point being is that we're to have patience with everyone, every person that we come in contact with. Now, I'm not going to ask for any, you know, show of hands, but how are you when you're driving on our interstate system? Are you patient with other cars? It's yes or no. Most of us is going to be, well, sometime. Well, how do we think Jesus Christ would be? Sometimes, never, or always? I would think always. I would think always. I think that's to what we're supposed to be. It's always. The Bible also instructs us to be patient in the waiting for Messiah and waiting for our Savior. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, and that his is the person's way, not in God's way, and prospers in his way because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Don't fret about that. And there's so many things going on in our society today that we could get so fretful over. And what we need to be doing is waiting, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We know there's a solution to all that's going on in our society. We know there's a solution for all that is going on in the world. And Jesus Christ is going to bring them with him. We're not going to have the solutions now. We were not created. We were not put here to solve the world's problems. We were put here to live through them, to bear up under them, and to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. And in the meantime, to be patient with one another, setting examples with one another, being thankful for God's being patient with us, thankful for Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, setting us example and being patient to us. And we're to be patient. Are there other things that we can do? Of course there are things that we can do, and I'm not saying don't do anything at all. That's not what I'm implying. What I am saying is our role in all of these things in the world today, the top of the priorities that we should have is to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because him who prospers in his way and all the things that are going on. It doesn't make any difference that the man brings wicked devices to pass. We stay out of his way. We stay away from all these things as much as we can, but we're not going to have the solution. But Jesus Christ is going to bring them. So we're waiting for him. We know where the solutions are coming from. Psalm 40 and verse 1, David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The point being is we are to be patient. We are to be patient. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7, reading this one out of the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He says, you're not waiting, you're not lacking any spiritual gifts that you need. You read the King James and even a New King James, you can read that in, but this one is very clear, I think. This one is very plain. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You're not lacking in what you need to wait patiently for the Lord. That's what it's saying. Do we think God has given us everything? You know, at times we go, well, I don't think so. He needs to give me more of this or more of that. No, he doesn't. It says that we are not lacking in any spiritual gift that we need to wait for the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for God or for Christ. It's okay to be praying and asking God to give us patience. Just don't add on the next phrase that we too often do, and give it to me now. Patience is something that is brought about over a long period of time. We saw that. Remember? That's what we read at the very beginning. We count it joyful when we fall into different temptations and different trials and testing because it develops as a result of that. So, yes, we ask God to give us patience. The Bible also instructs us to endure with patience without losing our self-control and waiting for answers to prayer. Sometimes we pray and if we're down on our knees and we pray to God and we ask Him for something, we get up and we expect it to happen right then. Because we know the promises God is going to do these things. He did. And I'm reminded of this song, there's a song that has been out there for years that it says, I never promised you a rose garden, and He didn't promise us a rose garden here. If you look to the scriptures and it talks about that the desert is going to blossom as a rose, it's going to be a beautiful rose garden, that's coming after Jesus Christ has returned. There's going to be a lot of good things in this life, that's for sure. But we are to wait patiently for even our prayers to be answered. Don't get so impatient with God when we ask Him to do something we know that in the Scripture that He has promised that He's going to do. Is He going to do them? Yes. When is He going to do it? When we've developed the patience. When we're ready to receive them, when it's right according to His will to have this in our lives. Also, the Bible instructs us to wait with patience for directions, for provisions, for opening of doors, for et cetera, for more and more and more, for whatever it is. We are, and we just read this verse, but I'm going to read it again. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. It's very plain, brethren. It's very plain. We are simply instructed to wait on God and to wait for the coming of the Lord. And brethren, please also understand and please also realize in doing so, we will be directed, we will be supplied, we will be protected, we will be corrected, and we will be rewarded. We will receive these things. Be patient, our Savior tells us. We also know this, that it is very difficult for us to do so. Because it's against our human nature. We understand that. That's why we can make the statement, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. And we all kind of laugh about it. And the reason is because we understand that. That's where we are. And so we understand that it's difficult. There are a lot of examples of people down through ages that have done things. I find this one, and I think it's really interesting. John Calvin, who was one of the Protestant Reformation leaders, religionists, and anyway, was born in France and came to Geneva, Switzerland, lived there for many, many years, and was wanting to be granted citizenship and applied for it. Had no reason as far as any that we can see from any modern reasons that he would not have been granted citizenship, and he was not granted citizenship until 5 years before his death in 1564. Yet, for the 20 years prior to that, he had been the city's most famous person. his comment about it when he finally was granted citizenship after all these years and having been, like I said, their most prominent, well-known person living in the air for 20 years, made the statement, and it's an incredible quote, "Hang on, endure, never give up. It's always too soon to quit." How long are we willing to hang on and to wait for something? Probably not long enough in most situations. There's also the story, and I know you can look it up, there's a story about this miner who bought a mine. This is many, many years ago, and was digging, and spent years digging and not really finding anything at it. But all the records, all the indication would have been that there would have been great wealth in this mine. And he dug and finally he just quit and said, "I quit, it's enough," and walked off. Gave it to somebody else, and the guy went in and dug 5 feet. All of the crown jewels in Europe came out of that mine. If he'd have had the personality and the perseverance in that sense of John Calvin, if he'd have known this thing, you know, hang on, endure, never give up, it's always too soon to quit, he would have had what he was looking for. We give up too quick. That is the point, brethren. We all too often give up too quick. And also, brethren, I think we also know, even though it is sometimes hard to see, there is very great value in practicing patience. There is. It is a great value, I'll say it again, in this life and in the life to come. The Bible makes a real interesting phrase. It says, "Run with patience and wait patiently." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So we're told that we are to run with patience and we are to wait patiently. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy," "for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." He came to give his life for us and for him for the joy that was set before him. Knowing what he was going to go through. Knowing what they were going to do to him. Knowing every detail about it. Counted it as joy, all that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What an incredible example. Hang on, endure, never give up. It's always too soon to quit. What if Jesus Christ had said, "This is a little too much. I'm going to quit right here"? What do you think would have happened? Well, the answer is he would have never done it, because we know that he was not going to do that. But we wouldn't have a Savior. I read this earlier, but I want to read it again. Psalm 40 and verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." Here's the point. God will hear ours also as we patiently wait for God. So here it is. Here's the bottom two patience in the Bible. Run and wait. Run and wait. Sometimes we're called upon to keep on keeping on. We know that phrase. And then at other times, we're urged to wait and trust and see what God will do and direct. And so the term, the phrase, so run and wait with patience makes sense. Because sometimes we are told to keep on going, keep on doing, keep on doing. And other times we're urged to wait and trust and see. But the bottom line to it is just that. Run and wait with patience. Brother, I believe that we need to think about this and we need to come to realize the quality, yes, the quality of our lives depend upon it. Romans 8:25. But if we wait for that we see not, then do we wait patiently for it. Can I see the hands of anybody who's ever seen the kingdom of God? No, we've not really seen the kingdom of God. We've read about it. We've read it. We can see it in our mind's eye as we think of it. But aren't we waiting for that? Aren't we living our lives because of that? Because of the picture that has been painted for us in the pages of the Bible? But if we hope for that we see not, in other words, that's where we're looking toward, that's what we're desirous of, that's what we're wanting, then do we wait patiently for it? Here's the thing. If we don't have patience, what would keep us from giving up on God and being in His family? There are topics from time to time that we talk about, and he goes, oh, okay, this is an easy topic. This is easy. This is an easy thing to deal with. No, it isn't. Because this is a topic, when I look at it and I see it, and I'm really wanting to get this in the depth of my mind, in my heart, in my being, that if I'm not a patient person in my life, not just in an area, but in my life, what could come along that caused me to give up on God? So I believe that this is an extremely important topic. What about you? What about you? I think you do too. So as a result of this and thinking about it from this point of view, obviously we need to thank God that He has such a wonderful plan for our life. And we need to thank God that in the adversities of life that we have, we can realize great value for both this life and the life to come by practicing and growing in patience. This life and in the life to come as a result of it. Now, with these few things that we've talked about in mind, I want to ask a few questions for us to ask ourselves and to be thinking about. This is something I want you to think about and take away with you. And as you go through this next week, think about these things. You know, if you know that you are an extremely patient person, great. Thank God that you are. If you might be a little bit short of the patience we've been seeing here, then like most of us are, then we all need to pay attention and we need to ask ourselves some questions. And this is a good thing to do. Are we asking God to help us see ourselves in terms of patience? Ask God to show us. How patient am I? Am I patient as I need to be, yes or no? Second question, what should running and waiting in patience look like in our lives? See, I didn't cover this in the sermon, did I? I didn't talk about how we run, did I? Because it makes a difference in our own lives how we do that. So what should running and waiting and patience look for in our lives on a personal basis? A third question, are we asking God to totally remove our past sins and to stay past? Why is that important? Because we may be thinking that God hasn't removed them. And as a result of that, we may be giving up patience on God. Are our past sins past, yes or no? If we have repented, they are past. Then let's move on. Otherwise, we may be treading on an area where we may be losing patience with God. Do you understand how I'm seeing this and what I'm phrasing this? So the question is, are we asking God to totally remove our past sins and to our past sins to stay past? In other words, they're gone. They're washed away. The next question, have we committed to God that we will and that we are taking the necessary steps to be patient with His help? And as a result of this sermon, as a result of it, yes, we can commit ourselves to God that we're going to do this. We know that we got to have God's help in doing this. We cannot do this on our own. So we go to God, take it to God, and we commit to Him that this is what I want. We affirm it. We make an affirmation. This is what I want in my life. Are we going and asking God to give us that help that we will do that? So we need to, and so I did it as a form of a question. Have we committed to Him that we are willing, that we will be taking the necessary steps with His help to develop and practice patience in our lives? And I have one more question that I want to end with, and that is, have we thanked Him for loving us and for helping us and guiding us and for His being so patient with us? This is an incredible opportunity time to thank God for that and to recognize how patient He has been in my life on a personal basis. Thank Him for that. Our God is so patient. We want to be like God. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed by God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.